Amen. If you want it, if you need it, there's help in the house. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Amen. You turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew. As you're turning, Matthew chapter 8. First of all, I'd like to say all of those, when just the youth, it was many of the adults that came to the youth rally Friday night. I appreciate that. I know the youth do. But you know what that said? That said to me when I saw our church folks turn out. It said to me, our church is hungry for revival. And God didn't disappoint us in that service. The Spirit of the Lord moved. The young people sought the Lord, and you were there to help pray with them. Also appreciate, Brother Brian may say more about it later, but the parents of the young people that came to the meeting last night, if you didn't come, you didn't not only missed out on a good meeting, you missed out on some good eating too. And you know we can't hardly meet without eating, but that's all right. I mean, even we get to heaven, there's that marriage supper, isn't there? So we're on the right track. We're on the right track. Don't forget to fill the prayer rooms up this evening before service. Let's pray for continuation of what God has been doing. And I'm this way. God's been doing some tremendous things. But when we go a little bit without someone finding Christ in our altars, my heart is stirred that we need to pray until someone gets saved. Amen. And so fill the prayer meetings up. We're going to have our evening service. And then after service, just a little explanation here. We have several high school seniors this year, and instead of going on senior trips with their schools, we're just going to do a church high school senior trip. Some saw that senior fundraisers and thought our seniors were going to go somewhere. I'm sorry, maybe we'll do that another time, but this is high school seniors, high school seniors. Didn't want to disappoint anyone. Amen. Get a bulletin and keep abreast of the things that are happening this week. Now this morning we're going to enter back into our series on heaven. We talked about heaven is a destination. Aren't you glad we're going somewhere? Heaven is the abode of God. Heaven is a place. And we're going to look at this again this morning. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, and I've only got the one verse here. I'm actually going to read the next verse as well. But Jesus says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Many shall come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, it feels like when we sing, "When the Saints Go Marching In," we say, "Oh Lord, I want to be in that number." How many wants to be in the number when they sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven? The next verse says, "But the children of the kingdom," that's a different kingdom, "shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It matters which kingdom you're in. And by the way, it's not the message, but everyone in this house this morning is in one or two kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of darkness. And if you're in the kingdom of darkness, Paul said, "Thanks be to us who hath taken us, delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." This morning I want to preach that heaven is a kingdom. Heaven is a kingdom. Father, set our minds to the truth. May the Holy Spirit settle in this place. Take my feeble thoughts, Lord, and efforts. And may this be an eternal moment. Save someone this morning, Lord. With you, there's always hope because you're mighty to save. Lord, you can save to the uttermost. Lord, I'm preaching about the kingdom, but oh Christ, that someone would enter your kingdom this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Heaven is a kingdom. Now, if you did a study, you would find in the New Testament that the Bible speaks explicitly and frequently about the kingdom. In fact, around 100 times, Jesus in his teaching refers to the kingdom. And so we're preaching that heaven is a kingdom. Now, I know we live in a modern age and we don't have many reminders of what king is. I mean, think about it. When we think about king, we think of a superstar in a certain field. They're the king of this field, or they're the king of that, or maybe it's not even that lofty. Sometimes our thinking doesn't rise above Burger King. Right? And if it does, we want the king size, whether it's cleaning detergent or a soft drink or a hamburger. That's about the running of our thinking about king, a king size. And if we do think about king, we move our minds back to the medieval ages and we think about the lofty throne and the crowned one sitting there in his robes with the scepter in his hand and the glorious court round about him. The one, the king whose word can move an army, whose word, his wish becomes law. And we think about the Middle Ages, or maybe we go to the Old Testament and we read about the kings of Israel and Judah. But you know, here's the thing, what I'm preaching this morning. We must get a concept firmly settled in our minds and our hearts. There is a king. And his name is Jesus. And he's the king of an everlasting kingdom. And to be saved, to be born again, to be a member of the church is to be a member of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, are you in the kingdom today? I had a youth pastor distraught call me up from somewhere in the United States and was explaining what had just happened in his church. He said, we had a youth service and they have a large youth group. And he said, I got in there and I shared a challenge and it seemed like the Spirit of the Lord was moving and we worshiped. And then according to plan, I took the young men aside in a room and my wife took the young ladies in a room and my wife, he said, was excited afterwards. She came back and said those young ladies, they talked about the things of God. They asked questions about church and they seemed so hungry for spiritual things. He said, my wife was so excited she couldn't hardly stand it. But he said we went to bed and the next morning, late in the night, and the next morning, early in that morning, 1 or 2 o'clock, he said, I got a phone call. He didn't tell me who it was from, but he said, I got a phone call, a disturbed phone call, and they told me that 6 or 8 of those young ladies that had been asking the questions and talking about the things of God, he got the phone call that they had been out all night and they just found them out drunk, been at a party, and he was disturbed, and he said, you know, that's not really an exception, that's the way, not just to my youth group, and that's the way it is across the board, and we begin to talk about that. He was so disturbed, and I said, it's not just that way in youth groups, it's that way in churches across the land. Churches are filled with people who feel like they can lift a hand and worship and sing and listen to a sermon and then go out into the world and partake of it and live any way they choose. They're missing something. He asked me, he said, what is wrong? How could they do that? And I said, I don't think people get what I'm about to preach on. They don't get this. Read that Bible. Amen. Over and over, Jesus says, kingdom, 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 king. And what they don't get is to be saved isn't just to have fire insurance, but to be saved is to bow your heart and your life to the king. It's to become a part of an everlasting kingdom and profess that he is king and Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not trying to ride a hobby horse this morning, but I wonder as I look at the church today, if Jesus talks so much about the kingdom, why does the church talk so little of it? Amen. Why are we not so concerned as we ought to be with the kingdom? I'm afraid the church has made, I'm not talking about this church, the Church of America has made living for God and serving God something something other than what it is. Amen. Church has been made out. It's simply a matter of your preference. It's church has become entertainment. Church has become self-serving. And even the messages today, if you listen to them, they're saying to you and to me, it's all about me. It's all about me. Take what you want. Leave what you don't want. Get you some fire insurance. Let Jesus give you a better high than drugs. Amen. Let get somebody that's going to cause you to prosper and get you a better job. They've made church out that. But if I read the book correctly, Brother Wilson, amen, that's not what church is about. The church is a representation of the kingdom of God, and it's made up of people who have bowed heart and knee and said, you are my king. You are my Lord. My life is yours. Everything I am, everything I have. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I had a young body again. I just thought if I don't slow down, I'm going to wear out in a few minutes. But I'm telling you, we need to get this. This thing about church is about a kingdom. Being saved, being born again is about a kingdom. I'm telling you, to get saved isn't to join a club. It's to become part of the kingdom. And I'll tell you, some folks need to realize that Jesus isn't our convenience store clerk. Jesus is our King. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Brother Mike's going to try to help me. I told him I was kind of muddled in my thoughts. But he's going to help me. I want you to know, first of all, this morning, the kingdom of heaven has all the elements of any kingdom. The kingdom of heaven has all the elements, amen, of any kingdom. I told Brother Mike I couldn't see what was up there. I was going to get some mirrors and put them right here in the pulpit. And then I realized I'd have to read backwards. The kingdom of heaven has all the elements of any kingdom. First of all, it has a king. Look, you said, I thought you was preaching on heaven. I am. But I want you to know, you can talk about everything heaven has. But above all else, you read the book. The focus of what heaven has is that it has a throne. It has a throne. Because there is a king. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom because it's ruled over by a king. The King of Kings. God in Christ is not a doting grandfather. Christ is not a cowed servant to do our bidding at our word of faith. Amen. Christ is none of those. He's not just a generous shopkeeper, but He is King. Oh, Paul is writing of lofty things, important things for the church, but something gets stirred in his heart, and so he starts writing worship, and he writes to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be power and glory forever and ever. Amen. It ought to stir in our hearts. We're in a kingdom because there is a King, eternal, immortal, invisible. It has a king. It has land and territory. There cannot be a kingdom without territory, without land, without a region that is ruled. Amen. And I'm not just talking about a place called heaven where he rules. I'm not just talking about the far regions of the universe or the far corners of the political and geological earth. When I say that he has a territory, I'm talking about the hearts and the lives of men and women and teenagers and children who have surrendered their life to Him. Their hearts become the territory, the land, the region of the kingdom. It has a king. It has a land and territory. And I'm telling you, wherever Christ reigns, that will be the kingdom of God. Wherever Christ is made king, that territory is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven has a king. It has land. It has laws. It has laws. A kingdom is a place that's governed by a king. But governing requires laws. I'm telling you, this book right here is a compilation. It's all of the laws of the kingdom. You want to know the laws of the kingdom? They're in this book right here. Amen. And I want to say this morning, when we get a hold of this idea of a kingdom, we realize that to be in rebellion of this book is to be in rebellion to the king. It doesn't matter if it's our government. It doesn't matter if it's our schools. It doesn't matter if it's our businesses. It doesn't matter if it's a preacher, a young person, a mom, a dad. To be in rebellion to this book is to be in rebellion to the king. Because here's the rules of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You say, well, Jesus came to do away with that. No, he said, I didn't come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it. That doesn't mean to do away with it. He said, I came to give you what it takes to do it. It has a king. It has land and territory. It has rules. Amen. Aren't you preaching about heaven? Yes, sir. But heaven isn't a theme park. Heaven's a kingdom. Amen. The last thing that it has in common to any kingdom is people, subjects. If there were no people, there'd be none to rule. If there were none to rule, there'd be no kingdom. If we're not part of the kingdom of heaven here and now, we won't be part of the kingdom there and then. Amen. It takes people to make a kingdom. And if the king does not rule in my heart here, I will not rule with him there. In eternity. So this is a kingdom. Secondly, the kingdom comes to a person and can be either received or rejected. I believe that. Here's just a few scriptures, and I don't know what all I have prepared here, but amen. John the Baptist came preaching, Matthew 3:2, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, it says in Matthew 4:17, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus instructed his disciples in Matthew 10:7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, to be at hand means it has drawn near. How many knows that God in his mercy causes the kingdom to come near? You know how it normally comes near? You know how the kingdom of God normally comes near? It comes near through the preaching of the gospel. The kingdom of God is never closer to you than when the gospel, the unadulterated gospel of Christ, is preached. The kingdom comes through the gospel's appeal for people to make Jesus Lord and King of their life. But it's one thing, Brother Mark, for the kingdom to come near, and it's another thing to accept the kingdom. How many here has had the kingdom come near and you've accepted it? Isn't that wonderful? But you don't have to accept the kingdom. You can hear the gospel preached that there's a king, and you can reject that. But I want to encourage you, don't reject the kingdom, but make Christ the king of your life. Even if it goes against your wishes, goes against your desires, your plans, make him the king of your life. Citizenship in this kingdom is gained only through repentance and being born again. You're not a part of this kingdom because you've signed a church membership card. You're not a part of this kingdom because you've been baptized in water. You're not a part of this kingdom because you say, well, I believe in God. But Jesus tells us, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes, but we only become a member of that kingdom by accepting it through our repentance and our belief in God. What I'm trying to say, the kingdom of God comes near and gets a hold of us, and we get a hold of it. I believe our greatest desire is to be a part of that kingdom. You know, here's what Jesus said. You know, some people treat church and the things of God so lightly, like it's no big deal. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which a man, when he hath found it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. He treasures the kingdom above all else. Amen. Jesus gave a series of parables, and every one of them, he said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He gave the beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, it ought to be our desire when the kingdom draws near, amen, to make it ours, to be able to say, I am a part of the kingdom. It came near, and I did not rejected, but I received and accepted the kingdom. You know, I've seen folks pray in the altar one not long back, and from appearance, that person really got somewhere. They tarried long in the altar and wept and cried. It didn't last. And I think one of the reasons is people don't realize this. To be saved is to be a part of this kingdom. And what goes on, whether they're aware of it or not, they get saved. And Jesus didn't come just to save them from hell. He came to be their king right now. And so they got saved, and the king starts saying to them, don't do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And all of a sudden they realize to be saved isn't just to get forgiven of past sins and make it to be saved is to give your life to the king. And you know what they really say when they don't last? Mark this down. When someone prays for salvation, don't let, you know what they're really saying? They're really saying, I don't want the king telling me what to do. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. Amen. You help me? Amen. Corner is getting a little tight in here. But if someone don't accept this, they found out they was getting more than fire insurance, Brother Dale. They found out this is kingship. And they don't stick around because what they want to do is contradicted by what the king wants them to do. But I tell you what it means to accept the kingdom. It says, King, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Oh, hallelujah. Someone shout glory. Hallelujah. Next of all, the kingdom comes to us, but we are also going to it. The kingdom comes to us, as I just gave you the scriptures, but we're also going to it. Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10:9, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is coming to you. I'm telling you, it's been that way from the beginning. When the pure gospel is shared, demons will be cast out, the sick will be healed, the lost will be saved, the marriage will be healed, amen, people will be delivered. Why? Because that's the advance of the kingdom. That's the kingdom coming to us. Hallelujah. We know the kingdom comes, not just because we felt different, but because the king has come and set the captive free. Hallelujah. He said, when demons are cast out and folks are healed, the kingdom of God has come to you. But we must note that this kingdom of heaven only comes. It only advances by battle, Sister Brock. It advances by war. Why? I know you know this. Amen. And I told you a little bit. Yeah, I know. I tried to take off my glasses and they're already off. Let's get past that, okay? I saw some of you catch that. How many caught that? It just don't get any better. Hallelujah. Help me out, Brother Mark. I was going somewhere. Where I was going? Yes. Amen. I already mentioned it once. Amen. There's another kingdom. How many knows the king? There's another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And it's not hiding in the corner. And it's not waving a white flag. But everywhere possible, that kingdom of darkness is advancing. And that's why the kingdom of God only advances with war, because there's a kingdom that stands in its way. Amen. That's why it's not always easy to serve the Lord. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night, and to do what's right. It's not always easy to have a Holy Ghost service, because there's another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, that stands in the way of the kingdom of heaven coming to us. Amen. The scripture says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, we get ready to do something for God, and the kingdom of darkness gets in our face. What do? Surrender, throw in the towel. No, we realize it's going to be a battle, but the violent take it by force. The service gets tight. We push on in, because we want to see the kingdom of God be victorious and the kingdom of darkness defeated. And I'm going to preach this morning, if you're in the kingdom of darkness and you sit in this house, he'll do everything to keep his hold on you. But if you'll listen to the gospel, there is one who can come and by the advancement of the kingdom of heaven release you, set you free, and deliver you. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. And then the kingdom both is here on earth and it's coming, yet coming. Jesus taught us to pray, and I use the Matthew 6 version. I'm going to stop right here. I failed to note, you might have seen it, but tonight we're going to take an offering for those that are suffering in Haiti. And we do have a missionary there, and we will be responding later to that particular need. But the Salvation Army was already on the ground there before the earthquake. And so we're going to funnel the funds to the Salvation Army. They're there. What little food and aid is getting through the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. So, pardon me, remember that tonight. Even children and young people, think of that tremendous suffering over there. And let's respond, even need be, sacrificially. But Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father," won't you just help me? Excuse me just a second. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That ought to be the constant prayer of the believer. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Notice Jesus did not teach us to pray, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Prosperity come." Did he teach us to pray that? "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A new house come. A new car come. A good feeling come." What do he teach us to pray? "Thy kingdom come." And I want to tell you something. The kingdom of God isn't what we think it is. It's not earthly prosperity. Now, don't get me wrong. Anybody that serves God, even though the devil fights, is going to do better. Going to be blessed of the Lord. Amen. But that's not what the kingdom of God is. You know what Paul told us about the kingdom of God? He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not a bunch of rules about what we eat and drink. But he said the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace. Now, folks start choking on that word righteous. Don't get any further. He wants us to be right. Yes, sir. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Get past that. It's what? Peace. Well, you let the king rule, there's going to be peace. And then he said one more thing. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. Some folks just thought they didn't like that king business. Someone telling them what to do. But Paul said, if you'll let the king tell you what you do, what to do, there's going to be righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Kingdom come. The kingdom is here, but it's advancing, it's growing, it's expanding. Did you know that every time somebody gets saved, the kingdom of heaven just advanced? Every time somebody gets healed, the kingdom advances. Don't you like to see the kingdom advance? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know this is being a little bit muddled. I'm just trying to get a hold of somebody. Amen. Quit fighting against what the king wants and thinking that's a horrible thing. It's a wonderful thing when you bow your heart and life to the king and suddenly there's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost that the world can give and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. When we do what the king says, the kingdom will come. Thy kingdom come. When I do what the king says, the kingdom comes to my life. Next of all, the kingdom enters into us and we enter into it. In fact, this is really the message in the nutshell. You and I, we can never enter the kingdom of heaven until the kingdom of heaven first enters into us. Brother Rose, there will not be one person that enters the kingdom of heaven if the kingdom of heaven has not entered into them. Amen. Listen to what Christ says. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Listen to what he says. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. The kingdom of God enters into you. How does the kingdom of God enter into you? You turn over the territory of your heart and life to be ruled by the King Jesus. That's how the kingdom of God enters into you. Hallelujah. You set Christ on the throne of your heart. And so it's in us. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. But then Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. And he renunciates that several times. So that not only has the kingdom entered into us, but we enter into the kingdom. But if you read it, what he says is we never enter into that kingdom until that kingdom enters into us. It may not be a popular message, but I believe it's accurate. And I believe the warning needs to be sound. Let no one believe that they'll be allowed into that kingdom if they have not allowed that kingdom into themselves. Hallelujah. How many likes it when Christ rules and reigns? Let me tell you one other thing. You cannot enter the kingdom head first. You enter it heart first. Well, I just got to know so I can believe. Won't you try believing so you can know? Well, you know, there's some things that bother me. I don't think I can surrender my life to Christ. There's some things I can't figure out. That's head. You're trying to enter the kingdom of heaven with your head. With the heart, man believeth. You enter the kingdom with your heart. Oh, come on. You know, even Satan don't even like this message because he likes his kingdom to be in power. But we're talking about Christ's kingdom being in the power. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you one thing. When Christ's kingdom enters in and the king takes control, he will rule our passions. He will rule our fears. He will rule our doubt. And his rule will bring peace and contentment and joy and rest. And then I want to note that the kingdom is both here on earth and it's already in paradise in eternity. The kingdom of heaven exists both in time and in eternity. You see, we here, we're alive. At least most of us are. We're alive. I didn't mean anything by that. I really didn't. Maybe I did. But if you're a believer and you're living, you've not yet went to heaven, but you're as much a part of the kingdom of heaven as those who have ended their race in Christ and are living in that celestial city, you are as much a part of the kingdom of heaven as they are. Because the kingdom of heaven exists both on earth and in that celestial place. place. Amen. Jesus says, and this was our text, Matthew 8, many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's something we got to get. We don't get eternal life when we get to heaven. We get eternal life when we confess our sins and we're born again. We don't enter the kingdom of heaven when we die and go to that city. We enter the kingdom of heaven when we turn our life over to the Lord. Amen. And so the kingdom is here on earth because the King is in the hearts of His people. Our hearts are His territory. He sits on the throne of our hearts and He rules His life. I'm telling you, the throne of God is simultaneously in two places. The throne of God is in the center of that celestial city, but simultaneously His throne is in the heart of every believer. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. How can a kingdom be in two places at once? I'll tell you how. Thanks for asking. I'll tell you how. But this week, Andrew, he was listening to the news about Haiti, and they talked about the embassy. And he said, Dad, what's an embassy? You know, things that we know, they're a little hard to explain. And I began to try to tell him, you know what an embassy is? I said, this right here is America. But when we go to a foreign country, because we want to have dealings with them and communication with their government, we buy a piece of land in the foreign country. And when we buy that piece of land in the foreign country, that is American soil. And we build a building there. And that's an American building. It might be in a foreign country, but that's America. That little spot of ground is America. Hallelujah. And no one better invade it or they invade America. And listen, there is a homeland. There is a celestial city. But I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost has come, and right here and right here and right here He's made a spot of territory, the kingdom of heaven, and over that flies the banner of Christ. And for Satan to come against this embassy is for him to come against the homeland itself. Hallelujah. So the kingdom of heaven is both there. Think of the British Empire at one time. It had more territory beyond the homeland than it did in the homeland. I don't want to belabor that point, but to say one more thing, Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And because the kingdom exists in both places, listen to me, Christians, we can have the authority of heaven right here on earth. Believe that, Brother Wilson? We can have the authority of heaven. Because this is embassy. I don't do this much. Why don't you just pat yourself on the chest and see, this is embassy. This is heaven's territory. You can say that if He's king of your life. And for Satan to come against you is for him to come against heaven itself. Last of all, the kingdom has already been received. That's if you're a believer. But the kingdom will be inherited. I said the kingdom has people, but we got to understand something, church. We're not just subjects of the kingdom. We're children of the King. Well, glory. I wish someone had their shouting shoes on. I said, we're not just subjects of the kingdom. We are children of the King. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to what Jesus said to him. No, that's not what I want to read. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. There's going to come a day we're going to inherit the kingdom. Glory to God, because we're children of the King. Glory to God. Amen. But I must serve warning. Paul said, and I didn't get Brother Mike the first part of that, but know ye not that in righteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators in the church or out of the church, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Make no mistake, Paul said, these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, and because of that, one day we're going to inherit the kingdom. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, glory to God. It's a done deal. If the kingdom's in us, we're going to rule with Him in eternity. If it rules in us, we'll rule with Him. Would you come, music? Listen to what Jesus said to him that overcometh. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in His throne. I want to tell you something. We're children of God. When I explained that little thing about the embassy, we're also His ambassadors. How many knows what a country does before it wages all-out war on another country? What's some of the first things it does? Calls its ambassadors home. One day, King Christ is coming with the armies of heaven. And you know how we're going to know it's time? He's going to call His ambassadors home. Well, glory. I said, well, glory. Don't you want to be a part of this kingdom? Listen, please. Take all my stumbling around, but take it this. If He's not king of your life, the kingdom's not in you. And if the kingdom's not in you, you're not in the kingdom. Is that right? Elders, am I preaching the truth? Is that the truth? And I want to go back to what this friend of mine that called me so disturbed. This is what we've missed. I'm talking about the church at large. We've missed in the church world. We've made church something other than a kingdom. We've made it a powwow where we democratically vote 51% on what we want to do and what we like and dislike, and forget there's a king that ought to be calling the shots of our life and living. Make no mistake, the world has its kings. What was it a week ago? Got tired of hearing it. I have compassion for the man, but get tired of hearing it. Well, this 75 years ago, no, it was the birthday, so it was, you know, if he had have lived, if the king of rock and roll had have lived, he would have been 75 years old today, over and over. We have the king of rock and roll. Back in last summer in June, tired of hearing it, compassion for the man, but tired of hearing it, the king of pop, the king of pop, king of rock and roll, king of pop. I mean, look at the emotion that was poured out, the expense, the money, the fanfare, the worship of dead men. Again, I'm not taking away for compassion for the man, but I want you to know something this morning. The king of rock and roll is dead. The king of pop is dead. But our king lives. Hallelujah. Let's stand and worship Him. Let's stand and worship. Oh, come on. Let's honor Him. Let's honor Him. Let's honor Him. Let's honor Him. Let's lift Him up. Let's glorify Him. King of kings. To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Our King lives. Our King lives.